Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600. And thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
Family, relationships, and personal growth. Professional counselor Julius Dudix is here to help.
Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
I have heard this term so many times, especially in my own household. Empty nest syndrome. Julius Dudix, do you have any clients who are going through empty nest syndrome?
Yeah, Melissa, thanks for having me on. I do. And the bottom line is it's something that is very common for a lot of, especially when you launch the first child. It's very common for the parents to feel this whole feeling of loss, emptiness, sadness. Almost it's a loss of purpose and identity because you've raised your children and, you know, it's been about them, but now they're gone. And so it's normal to feel that sense of loss and loss of purpose. Mm-hmm. So it's a very, very common thing that I've dealt with, yes, through the years.
Sometimes it's interesting, Julius, because empty nest syndrome, I think, sometimes comes in waves. And maybe I'm crazy, but I see it with my parents sometimes where, okay, so the five of us all went off to college. We all moved out. We all got married. And when we left for college, sure, there was that initial, oh my gosh, where are my babies going? What happened? Why aren't they ducklings anymore? But then I find years later when the grandkids come into the picture and now your kids are parents and they're kind of running the shots and you're sort of taking it back and you're like, wow, like I used to be their family. Now I'm not their primary family. I find my parents are going through now a second, especially my mom is going through like a second. I feel like the same sort of thing in empty nest syndrome where she's like, wow, it's me and dad. Like me and dad have to make plans. And if you guys can fit into it, great. Whereas it never used to be that way. So is it true that you could go through empty nest in different stages?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this, see, part of the whole remedy is to make sure that you're investing with your spouse. You're investing in your, you know, husband or wife, because that's the best thing that you can do for the children growing up. I always tell young couples, especially, the best thing you can do for your children is to love each other in a sincere way, in an authentic way, in a meaningful way, because that trickles down to the kids. When it becomes all about the kids, and all of a sudden the kids get launched and you look at each other and you say, whoa, what do we have?
Who are you? You
know, yeah, right.
But it is true, though, Julius, and correct me if I'm wrong, or I mean, I should say I'm kind of being a devil's advocate here. But I think it's fair to say, though, and maybe I'm wrong, but I would say two generations before me, so the baby boomers, I feel like baby boomers were kind of taught that, listen, when you have kids, kids come first. And I think, you know, we put so much emphasis now because we have such a high divorce rate on having healthy marriages, put your spouse first. But I don't feel like that was as prevalent maybe 40, 50 years ago when people were getting married. It was like as soon as you had kids, kids did come first versus now, like I've learned that my spouse comes before my child. So how do you 30 years later reconnect with your spouse when for 30 years it has been about the kids? Like a lot of my listeners, I think, fall in that category where they did put their kids before their spouse. And that's okay. But how do you now recover?
Yeah, you've got to find common interests. You've got to kind of remember what you first enjoyed about your spouse, what you loved about your spouse. You've got to look at what are some of the kind of things that you can do together to build relationship. But you're right. That's great insight in terms of the way the history has kind of unfolded. Yeah, the baby boomers many of them wanted more for their kids than what they had. So they consequently put all their energies in their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And now what happens is you end up almost they end up suffering from that whole syndrome because they've invested so much in the kids that there's nothing for them to look forward to with their own spouse currently.
Mm-hmm.
And now we live in a society, too, where technology, cell phones, text messaging, internet, you know, you can hang on to your kid in a lot more with a lot more ease. Mm-hmm. And that becomes a control issue for parents.
Mm-hmm.
But it's bottom line, we're dealing with change. How are we dealing with change? Because that really is what it's all about.
Yeah.
The change of people leaving and such. And,
yeah.
You know, it's almost adjusting and adapting and accepting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're talking to Julius Dudix, our morning show counselor this morning. So anxiety, depression, stress, worry, anxiety. I mean, we said anxiety, but like even the feeling like there's no sense of purpose. These are just some of the many things you could feel from empty nest syndrome. So how do you recognize that you're going through it, and how do you start to overcome those issues?
Yeah, if you're thinking about it too much, it's a good sign that you are it's beginning to control you. But one of the reasons I think it's so good that we talk about it now is because, you know, this is going to happen for so many families across the nation within a few weeks. And so to begin thinking about it now and thinking about a strategy and how am I going to process it and how am I going to deal with the change is a very healthy thing to do. Start the dialogue. Talk to your spouse about it. Talk to other people. But you got to find a balance between me time and we time when it comes to launching the kids. Parents, moms, and dads have to understand they've got to take care of themselves, because if you can't love your spouse effectively if you don't love yourself. Mm-hmm. And so in a healthy way, you've got to take care of yourself so you can love your spouse and then love your kids and be there for them. Mm-hmm. But to have the dialogue now, to talk about it now, to acknowledge it now, and then to say, well, what am I going to do? What's my plan? What's my strategy for when they leave? What are we going to do with the empty nest? Mm-hmm. And it is going to be different. I mean, I've had some couples tell me, hey, it's so strange when I walk into the house. It's so quiet.
Right. It's so quiet. There's no movement. Yeah. There's no chaos. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
But you could adopt a pet, you know, pick up some new hobbies, cooking, baking, camping, redecorating your home. There's so many different things that you can do to kind of grow as an individual. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be stuck. Mm-hmm. And one of the signs and symptoms is if you're thinking about it too much, and if it's affecting even your sleep, for some, it affects their sleep. It affects their ability to do life, to live life in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm. Julius.
Albert Einstein.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Einstein said, life is like riding a bike. To keep your balance, you've got to keep moving.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Well, yeah. Albert Einstein, he was kind of a smart guy, so I'll take that. I'll agree with that. Julius, if anyone wants to reach out to you, because I think this is a topic that probably hits home for a lot of our listeners, how do they reach you?
Yeah, they can contact me and make an appointment at 203-243-7714 or read about me on Facebook or LinkedIn or www.bark.com.
Julius Dudix, always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thanks for all you do, Melissa. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too. So we talk a lot about how social media can be sort of the downfall, especially as we talk about COVID. A lot of people spreading misinformation around social media. It's causing a lot of problems for our police. It's causing a lot of problems for our vaccination rates, things like that. But today, we're actually going to talk about one really big positive when it comes to social media, and that's finding support and connection. Joining me now is Krista Carnes, our social media consultant. And I love this topic, Krista, because I think there are so many different avenues, people with different backgrounds or walks of life, that they could really benefit from either finding someone or finding a group of people who can support them in different areas.
Absolutely. I think it's actually one of the greatest gifts, of an actual social network. I mean, it kind of reminds you that it is truly a social, these are social networks of people. And I think, you know, I think a lot of us have benefited from, you know, asking for advice on, you know, where do I get this? Or does anybody have a, you know, thoughts on, you know, this brand of washing machine or whatever. But when it comes to like some of the harder issues, you know, a lot of us are reluctant to talk to people, you know, in our lives for fear of upsetting people or, you know, not knowing where to start. But there are so many people online that like, I particularly focus on Twitter, but there's also tons of Facebook groups for support for whatever you're going through. And it just, it really makes you, you can listen to other people's perspectives. You can ask questions and maybe either get, you know, get great information or just more importantly, I think find that spark that says, huh, maybe I need to look deeper into this. So no matter where you sort of are in your journey, I mean, my son has ADHD. I was diagnosed as an adult with ADHD and, you know, finding people to talk to. So I'm like, oh, that's, I'm not crazy. Like,
right.
This is a pretty common thing.
Yeah.
And, oh, And then to say, okay, so what were your strategies for dealing with this, mm-hmm. or reading more about it? And the nice thing is like, you don't owe anybody anything. You're not walking into a room
right.
and stay there for very long.
Right.
You know, you can just save some threads and look at it when you need to. And mm-hmm. I feel, you know, there's just a lot. And there's somebody out there for just every circumstance. And the initial anonymity of it, or the anonymity of it, allows you to sort of explore without putting, I mean, it allows you to not have to put yourself out there and be as vulnerable in the beginning, but hopefully gets you to someplace else.
Right. And you know, Krista, you brought up a couple of big things. First of all, you're right. It's not like going into a doctor's office. So from my perspective, I'm in a couple of moms groups that I love. And right. you know, it's tailored to, you know, like mm-hmm. I'm in a toddler boys mom group. You know, yeah, so but it's very helpful because, you know, there are things that you're right. There will be sometimes I'll post something and I'll get 5 or 6 answers, or there will be times someone posts something and you get 100 answers. So there's always someone who can relate to what you're talking about or go, oh yeah, no, I'm struggling with that too. So either you're getting advice or support or both. You're not paying a doctor's fee to get any of this advice because it's just regular people going through very similar things. And you're right, you walk away from the conversation and you don't feel like you're obligated to send them even a Christmas card, let alone go and sit and have lunch with them, which right. I know sounds mean, but we're busy, you know, like we don't have time for this. So
well,
I think,
and sometimes you get when you have an emotional relationship with someone, your sister, your cousin, your best friend and stuff, like, yes, they can offer you advice, but there's all that sort of, there's more complication there because if you don't take their advice, that they can follow up and see, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, and you also, I mean, you do feel an emotional obligation to also, you know, like I said, you invest, you know, and that's
right.
fine. If you've got good friends or you've got siblings, yes, you want to invest in your family and your friends. But my God, we're busy. Like, we're really busy. We got a lot of stuff
yeah.
going on. So to, like, overinvest in so many people can get overwhelming. And social media kind of makes this a little more possible, a little more manageable. And again, we're talking to Krista Carnes, who's our social media consultant. We're talking about probably the biggest gift you can ever get from social mm-hmm. media, and that is finding support and finding people who connect with you about things that you have similarities on. And Krista, I'm just curious, you know, like, so you just said you have a group where you can talk to other people who either have ADHD or have children with ADHD. How do you even find groups that you could belong to?
Yeah, it's, you know, the first step, like, at least, you know, it's a simple hashtag search for whatever it is. It's hashtag ADHD, ADHD parenting. And you can do, you know, some quick Google searches and you might come up with some articles that reference it. But I find Twitter a really good resource for this. If you're not on it, you can definitely search for groups in Facebook. Like, you're going to find special needs moms. And there's, like, you know, I mean, there's just like a limited number of groups, and not every one of them is going to be a perfect match. Some of them are so huge, they're a little unwieldy, but there are you search on Twitter, but even in those Facebook groups, there's like a search window. And, you know, how do I get my kid to sleep, or my kid won't take medicine, or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is, like, there's undoubtedly somebody who has asked the questions that
right.
you're curious about. So just start with the basics. It could be, if it's a medical term, if it's, you know, divorce, newly divorced, single. There's this wonderful woman named Rebecca Wolf with 2 O's, and she was just sharing. She got a big following. So you want to talk about influencers. She's big following. And so she said, she basically admitted after her husband died that they had been really having struggles in their marriage. And so it kind of complicated the fact of when he died. And, you know, so she was opening this conversation, and all these women, she started a hashtag called How I Left. And it was about women who were making hard choices to, like, leave their relationships, and they're sharing so many resources and you know, and some of them were very serious situations, domestic violence and everything. And
wow.
it ran the gamut all the way up to, you know, I just haven't looked at my husband in 20 years and,
right.
and wanted anything to do with him, and I need to get out. So, but she curated all of that together. So, and there were people that were sharing, like, wow, I never thought I had the right to leave. I never thought that there were other people in my situation.
Wow.
It's just one example of what you stumble on. And when you start following people, and there are definitely influencers out there
mm-hmm.
about certain situations. Some of them are actual therapists. Some of them are just people who are committed to in
like
my
a
case,
cause like, or something.
Yeah, living with ADD. They might be an ADHD coach,
right,
for example. So there's even potential that you could secure services with somebody.
That's
if you
cool.
resonate with them. And
if you
like
make a connection.
Yeah, so just start Googling. It doesn't always have to be the heavy stuff either. It's, you know, planning a wedding. It's because sometimes it takes all the pressure off your own personal relationships to be able to explore some of this deeply and then come back to your personal life and say,
right,
hey, I've given this a lot of thought and now I'd like to do this, or help you formulate a little more of your plan. So
they truly are.
It's really useful.
It is really useful. It's really like the support group without strings attached. It truly is exactly that. And I think Krista, you bring up such a great topic. And like I said, we always kind of have these, you know, a lot of hard things that we deal with when it comes to social media. But this is one where we can rejoice and say, yep, this is a gift, a true gift of social media. How can people connect with you, Krista, or follow your Twitter page if they want to learn more or ask you any more questions?
Yeah, you can. I'm on Twitter at Krista Carnes. My email is Krista@KristaCarnes.com. And if you want to, like tweet at Melissa or go on the WICC page, let us know what questions you have for the future, because this social media can help you too. So, you know, I'd love to hear if there's anybody else that wants any insight or topic ideas. Is that fair to ask?
Absolutely. Of course it is, Krista. Thank you. You just made my job so
awesome.
Much easier. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Krista. Yes. No, seriously,
okay.
If anyone has questions for Krista, please feel free to pass them along. Krista is here every other Tuesday morning and she has great advice. And again, she's our social media consultant on the show. Thanks, Krista.
Have a great day, Melissa.
Thank you. You too. And we are headed to Shelton this morning, where Mayor Mark Loretti is standing by. Good morning, Mayor Loretti. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful morning.
It really is. It is very nice. It's going to be a little warm, but that's okay. I was curious, could we talk a little bit about nominations? First of all, what you mean by that and what people need to know about it?
Well, last night we held our caucus for the our Republican Town Committee to nominate a slate of candidates for the November election, and we had a pretty good night. We brought in some new people. You know, it's always a challenge to get people to serve, particularly in this day and age when they're subjected to so much scrutiny and
yes,
so many things that people say that are probably unwarranted. But nonetheless, you need people to serve government, and if you don't have good people, good strong people, then generally the right things don't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are the people being nominated, are they from, like, do they have to live in Shelton, I would imagine?
Yeah. You have to be a Shelton resident, and you have to be affiliated with the party. And, you've got to have people who are committed. So, it's always been a challenge. But I got to tell you that over the years, I've been pretty fortunate to have a lot of good people who come forward, who understand what the game plan is, help execute the game plan, and get results that probably nobody else in the state is getting at this point.
So, Mayor Loretti, what are some of the positions you are filling?
Well, we have the city treasurer. We have members on the Planning and Zoning Commission, a slate of three for the Board of Apportionment and Taxation. Our Board of Aldermen is a full slate. There's eight aldermen for the city by charter, and we put up eight people. We have nine candidates that we put up for the Board of Education, of which five get elected.
Okay. Very exciting. So is there going to be, I would imagine the city gets to vote on this. The public gets to vote, right?
Well, the public gets to vote on, provided that there's no challenges from other Republicans throughout the city, the city will vote in November on this slate of candidates that's endorsed.
Okay. Yeah, that's very exciting. Now, Mayor Loretti, a couple of things I wanted to talk about as well in Shelton. First of all, I know I was just discussing this with Fairfield First Elect Woman Brenda Kupchick last week. Unmask Our Kids. That's been a huge campaign across Connecticut. I know Fairfield has been a very loud town about that, which I can totally understand. I respect it. You know, I certainly can't give an opinion on either matter. But I was curious. It does sound like Shelton is also behind unmasking their kids for the fall. Why?
You said the Shelton is not behind or is behind the mask?
You are behind it. You like the idea of unmasking our kids?
Yeah, well, I'm a proponent of it. I think that there's a fair amount of people within the city that feel the same way. Now, you're always going to have differing opinions. And quite honestly, I think it should be a parental choice at this stage of the game. Of course, this is a moving target, and things change constantly. But as we sit here today, you know, our kids have been at an advantage for about a year and a half now. We need to change that. I think that there's enough of an educated population here in Connecticut to understand that there has to be guidelines, that we have to take precautions. You know, we've been browbeating people about social distancing and masks and things like that. And so, you know, schools have made a lot of adjustments, not only here in Shelton, but across the state, to try to accommodate that. There's been a fair amount of people who have been vaccinated. The teachers and the people who work in the schools in particular, from what I know, the vast majority of them are all vaccinated. So I think we need to find ways to make this happen, to get kids back to school, to have some normalcy in their lives and the way we teach and the way we act and just adjust as things change.
We're talking to Shelton Mayor Mark Loretti. And Mayor Loretti, I think you make a lot of great points. I think what's interesting is if you talk to the infectious disease doctors across Connecticut, they're the ones who are saying that, look, the reason that our kids should get vaccinated or wear a mask is because of this big fear that when they come home, they get someone unvaccinated sick. So to me, I think, why are we punishing the kids and making them get the vaccine or wear a mask when it's like, listen, adults, get the vaccine. That's clearly why our kids are now having to protect themselves. I mean, granted, the Delta variant, we're still trying to see how effective it will be in kids. But still, the overall majority of people who are ending up in the hospital are unvaccinated adults at this point.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, there's still a lot of unknowns here. This is a moving target. You know, we have to learn to adjust. We can't live underground for the next couple of years because the consequences will be worse than what the virus will do to us. And really, the country and the world has to come to terms with this thing. And, you know, there's so many things that affect us every single day. You know, if we're going to stay underground and not socialize, then you have psychological issues that people go through.
Right.
People aren't getting their cancer treatments. You know, the medical community at large is putting people at risk if you can't, you know, get services. So, you know, we just have to learn to deal with this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, talking to Shelton Mayor Mark Loretti. One more thing, Mayor Loretti, before you go. I was reading an article, I think it was over the weekend, actually, in regards to a potential redevelopment plan for Canal Street, which would mean nearly 100 apartments in commercial space. Any comment on that? What are your thoughts on that plan?
Well, yeah, I think that what's going on in downtown Shelton is what we've been working on for the last 25 years to be able to get to this point where there's private development at the table and not government monies that are leading the charge. And that's exactly what's happening. People see a demand this quickly. We have six new construction projects as we speak today that are going on in downtown Shelton, and they're mixed-use developments, and they're filling up as quickly as they're done. So, you know, there's a need for this type of thing. This is the changing dynamic in downtown, which I think a lot of people are excited for. And yes, there are other issues that when you bring in development and change, you know, you have some traffic issues, you have parking issues, but they have to be dealt with. And they're not solved immediately. You know, things evolve. And, you know, that's what's happening here in downtown Shelton. And it's quite honestly, it's what I've worked for the last 30 years. To be able to get to this point. And it's happening in a very big way.
And also, Mayor Loretti, really quick, for these proposed apartments, for example, are most of the proposed, are they market rate, or is there any affordable housing going up in Shelton or being proposed in Shelton, I should say?
Well, it's actually both. And I've got to tell you, the last 4 or 5 years, I've been a proponent of some affordable housing, that if you're going to give bonuses, for lack of a better term, in terms of density, that a percentage of those units should be in the affordable category. I think a lot of people misinterpret what affordable means, what the statute calls for here in the state of Connecticut. And, you know, I think you have to continue to talk to people and talk to the public and educate them and let them understand that affordable in Connecticut is blue-collar workers. It's municipal workers. It's people in that category. It's your construction workers. It's people in that category. And so, you know, we need to be able to have different types of housing. And I think that, you know, if you look at the structure of Shelton in terms of housing, we've always had a lot of diversity.
Yeah. Well,
and
yeah.
And the have trailer home parks that, you know, there's a couple hundred units. That the pricing on those units have been constant for the last 40, 50, 60 years. And, you know, and that serves a niche. It serves a need for people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, quite honestly, people talk about diversity in terms of people. I talk about diversity in terms of our business structure, the type of housing that we have. You know, you've got to have something for everybody, because this is not a one-size-fits-all world that we live in.
Mm-hmm. No, that's very true. Mayor Mark Loretti, we appreciate you coming on every other week. Thank you so much, and we'll talk next time.
Okay, you have a great day.
Thanks, you too.